WaveAct, the web-free software company that understands what you want.
Hey everyone, welcome at WaveAct. Today with Gerald Heidenreich, who is the founder of Ethermail, founder of Barcelona Blockchain Network and Omnis Mundi. He's also advisor and investor of several companies such as Model Management and Elysium. And today we will talk about a super exciting and relevant topic, and that is communication in Web3 and how to revolutionize the whole space in that regard. So thanks, Gerald, for taking the time out of your busy day, I assume. And yeah, speaking with me and starting out, I would love to know a little bit more about yourself, something maybe I didn't mention before, your passions, what you're currently working on, whatever you want to share.
Yeah, hey Kevin, very nice. And thanks for the opportunity to speak today about Ethermail and what we're doing here. So a quick background on myself. I've been 20 years an entrepreneur. I started really in Web 1. So when the internet wasn't there, let's say, we basically did the first applications. We built a SaaS business, which we sold to Capgemini. That was in Web 1. And then in Web 2, we basically built an e-commerce business, more than 350 employees, and we sold it in 2011 to Amazon, actually. Learning a lot about email communication there, because we actually were sending every day about 10 million emails. And then moving into direct-to-consumer products, actually creating certain brands and jewelry, accessories, cosmetics, basically with large networks, 3,500 salespeople, what we built. And then actually, say now 4 or 5 years ago, I really got the Web3 bug, let's say. And I got super excited again, because I saw this real big opportunity of a massive technological change. It's a bit of a pity. I first heard around about Bitcoin in 2015 and that's got painful. Offered basically to buy a Bitcoin super early and then also later ETH and so on. But I really didn't understand at the beginning, and the whole industry was just a bit too crazy for my taste. But then I really in I think 2019 or 2018, I all of a sudden it made click, and I understood that this is just massive. It's not really only about, of course, blockchain, because this is just in brackets an underlying technology, but it's really around Web3 and what's connected with AI, what we're now seeing with metaverse and virtual reality and so on. All this moving into this Web3 experience, of which blockchain is an essential component, basically. So very excited about this space to be able to shape again a little bit the future. As usual, it takes some time to convince people and create use cases. And as always, there's a lot of hype at the beginning. I mean, I remember 2001, people basically hyped up all the companies, boo.com and others, basically. And of course, at the same time, there were loads of people saying, well, this thing is going to go away. And how should I ever buy a shoe on the internet? Because I can try it on. So these were the arguments at the time, and today we have very similar things. But it's always a normal process, and then step by step, people just get accustomed to new things and make the switch to technology once it's actually easily accessible. And that's the core thing what we have to solve.
Absolutely, don't make me think, right? Long as it's simple and it provides value, projects and services actually gain traction. That's great to hear. Yeah. Okay. Looking back, since you basically saw the evolution of the whole internet in general, right? That's pretty cool. What you said it made click when you looked at Web3 and watched it for a few years, actually. Mm-hmm. What made you click? What was the point?
Yeah, what was this thing? So I think it was probably really two things. So the first one, and that's a central idea, of course, of blockchain and Web3, is ownership of data. In today's or in the Web2 world, let's say, data is owned by the large corporations and they monetize the users. And they basically give some free services, of course, but eventually I am the product, I give my data, and they make money off this data, basically. And for a long time, that kind of was okay. People really didn't think about it. But if you start thinking about it, it's not really okay, because my data is my data. And actually, I should be able to decide on to whom I give access on my data, which is actually stored in brackets on my side, versus data is lying on thousands, hundreds of different sites, and they just do whatever they want to with it. Because data actually is something what defines me. And again, we're going to come to that probably later also. The more I have access to the data, actually, the better it is, because it also can generate very customized and profiled information and offers basically to me. So I think that was probably the first one. Then there's a second one, which has to do with connecting also the dots with data, which is transparency, because all of a sudden, of course, you can see what's happening with the data on chain. So transparency, of course, creates also trust in a certain way, because if you know what's happening and you can follow basically, well, then it's in theory, at least, I mean, of course, exceptions makes the rule, much more difficult to cheat on people, because you can follow and trace publicly what's actually happening to these things. And then the third one, I think that is the most revolutionizing or the revolutionary concept of this whole thing, is really that this Web3 economy created their own currency. I think this is something which is completely mind-boggling. We actually now in the process of preparing a token launch, and I've been very heavily involved in this, creating basically the tokenomics around it. And you really create an own ecosystem within your sphere, let's say. And that means, of course, payment within this ecosystem. It means different types of currencies than just the normal state-controlled currencies. And again, this has a huge potential, in my opinion. Having said this, brackets, the problem, of course, is at the beginning very much, crypto was all, still as of today, I think, very much, it's 90% about finance and crypto and currencies and buying and trading and so on. And only 10% is really use cases. And in a normal, in a healthy, let's say, economy, finance typically makes around 10% of the gross domestic product and global things what maybe is produced, and 90% is the real world, let's say. So the Web3, let's say crypto, whatever you call it, has to move towards these real world applications, and that finance and trading is not the only use case for it, because obviously that's not the case. And that's, I think, exactly where we are in this process of creating real world use cases and making people understand what the potential of this new technology really is.
Absolutely. And you discussed a couple of interesting points, especially obviously when you launch your own cryptocurrency or your own token, you have to consider, look at the big picture, right? What is that token being used for? When is a supply maybe being lost, burned, or traded, or whatever? And all these kinds of things, right? Which enables you to create a micro economy. Mm-hmm. And that's actually something super interesting, which is actually not that easily possible without blockchain, because you just brought up basically three main reasons why people can use or should use blockchain, or what it enables, basically. Mm-hmm. But in contrast, as always, there are other tools and other technologies that also enable you to do the same or similar things. Mm-hmm. So the thing that maybe a lot of people don't consider is that blockchain maybe isn't always the most, let's say, also the easiest solution, mm-hmm. but it's oftentimes still, because the patterns already exist, like how you create a token or something like that, mm-hmm. how you actually implement that, or what's your view on that, on when to use blockchain and when not, maybe.
Yeah, very good point. So I think it's a very, very important point what you're touching upon. So two things. You really have to ask yourself, do I need to have blockchain in this project I'm doing or not? And to be fair, I think even in today's blockchain world, there's a lot of projects out there. There's no reason to use the blockchain, A, and there's no reason, B, to have a token, because you could just do it technologically differently, and there's no reason why you should use that technology. It actually makes it more complicated in reality. And of course, people jump on a new technology and then they just want to blockchain everything, let's say, and then get more money and investors and so on. It's understandable. I don't judge, right? But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, does this make sense or doesn't it make sense? And if you can do it differently, then I think you should do it differently, because blockchain technology, of course, is actually quite complex. And not that easy to implement. And it also has some downsides, of course, because, for example, you can change certain things. Everything is public, which also can be a hurdle. So we are going to see that everything all of a sudden is going to move to the blockchain. You just have to ask yourself, where does it make sense and where doesn't it make sense? and we are not going to tokenize everything, and we are you're not going to have a token for everything eventually, because it just doesn't make sense, right? So as always with new technologies, it's a little bit use your brain and understand where does it make sense and where doesn't it make sense.
Mm-hmm. And when was the point where you said, well, okay, we have all these features that the blockchain provides. Mm-hmm. Let's build a business on top of that that enables proper communication or...
Yeah, so essentially we when we kind of entered, so Shant and me, so Shant is the CEO of the business and also the founder together with me. We basically were supporting, we know each other for like 7 years approximately now. We've been working on different businesses. And then 2018, 19, I think we started to invest actually in Web3 projects and support some projects on token launches, NFT launches. And one of the things we always saw was communication is an issue. So the project would launch, they would create a Telegram group or a Discord group. And then, of course, people start spamming the groups. And then when Moon, when Lambo, then people leave the group, then people sell the token. They don't know anymore about the project. So it was always a huge, huge, and I think as a thing, and I know still as of today, it's a very big issue of projects really staying in touch with their users. So that was the ignition point where we saw, okay, communication is a big issue. In Web3, as it in Web2, but even more in Web3. And how can we attach, or how can we potentially solve this problem from a technological point of view, let's say, but at the same time using something which is existing? And Shan came up with the idea and saying, well, what about email? I mean, email is literally the most used communication platform in the world, apart perhaps from phones. 4.3 billion people are using email. WhatsApp is the next biggest competitor. It's 2.7 billion. Telegram is around 900 million, I think. Discord is 150 million. So, and of course, again, if you go on any website on any company or B2C business of the world, you will always find subscribe with email, login with email, because, well, simply email is not, nobody owns email. It's something which basically is a decentralized protocol and perhaps the first decentralized application of the world somehow. So the question was, email already had gotten an upgrade from POP3, which was Web 1, into IMAP, which is basically Web 2, and now into Web 3. So what would happen, what would need to happen to email if you actually bring it over into the new world of Web 3? And he came up with, I think, that really brilliant and straightforward idea and saying, well, what if we combine wallet, which of course is digital identity, encryption, and payment, together with that communication layer of email? And then all of a sudden you realize if you combine these three elements together with a communication layer, there's a lot of different use cases which all of a sudden you couldn't have imagined without these two connection points. It's a little bit like connecting your credit card, let's say, with a communication mechanism and just combining and merging these two things into one.
Mm-hmm. I just came up with a question because I'm really curious myself. Mm-hmm. If you can't answer it, please don't take it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. There's something called account abstraction. Not sure if you're familiar with it. Okay, sure. Awesome, mm-hmm. Cool. Basically, which is part of, you have a new kind of account type in blockchain and basically some kind of identity, right?
Yes.
Is mm-hmm. that something that you also plan or already support, and how would that work?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, account abstraction, she goes into like next level, let's say, discussion of Web3. And we are really focused very much on bringing Web2 people into Web3. So I believe account abstraction has its place, and I definitely believe it's going to be driven forward and also be a significant place in the world. For the moment, we are not focusing on it. We are basically focusing on saying, okay, we're going to create basically for you a non-custodial wallet basically connected with the email. But there's no reason why we shouldn't implement that in the future basically and also use it as a feature. I just believe that it's not 100% clear yet how exactly it's going to pin out. And so it's an innovation in already an innovative, super innovative environment. And sometimes it's better to just wait and see, okay, how exactly that's going to pin it out. How is it going to be also actually in the different protocol used and so on, in order to then see, okay, how do we want to implement this? But we are, of course, looking at it as zero knowledge proof, and all these things is something which, of course, is on the agenda. But it's not something which is now, let's say, today, mm-hmm. super important.
Yeah, account abstraction is quite a new thing. Basically, not new, but it it's finally production ready, right? And the protocols start implementing it.
Yes.
I just thought like we are able to use social media, right, to log in on platforms.
Sure.
Or we can use email.
Yes.
And with account abstraction, when you say you create a non-custodial wallet for the user, you could also go the other way. You could say you can use your social media to create an email.
Yes, of course.
Or as a with crypto. And that's that was an interesting thought for me. That's why I asked this.
Absolutely, you can. True. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. You just talked, also mentioned zero knowledge proofs. What are your thoughts about that? Is that something, or how would that plug into Ethermail? Or could that plug into Ethermail?
Yeah, it could plug into Ethermail. But again, it is not something we are actively at the moment focusing on. Mm-hmm. Because we believe first, actually, before we talk about zero knowledge proof, for example, we really focus on how can you, with your very simple Gmail or your Apple basically login or your Facebook login or whatever, create an onboarding user flow into the Web3 world. So this is what we are focusing on at the moment. And that's actually what we're going to release in about 3 to 4 weeks, where basically with your Gmail, you create the non-custodial wallet. You can actually use it also to access then that wallet. And then actually the email becomes a wallet also, right? So you can actually with that email log into any a Web3 platform via Wallet Connect. And it has a very different user flow and logic of how you actually interact with the email. Because today, of course, you have with MetaMask, you have the pop-up, you have to sign a transaction, you get loads of zeros, and you don't really know what you're doing sometimes. Whereas here, everything is really focused on the email. So you essentially say, I want to buy. You get the email basically with all the information. This is the NFT you want to buy. This is the price, this is the seller, and so on. And you basically would buy the product in the email. So we really changed the flow, let's say today very Web3 native flow, which I understand why it's there, to a very Web2 native flow, because people are used to get a confirmation by email, confirm a payment by email, and so on, or put actually a confirmation code from the email. And we believe that email can play that role of bringing the Web2 world into the Web3, because it's a known protocol. And instead of trying to learn something new, it's much easier to adopt something which already have and just learn a little bit of an upside, let's say, but basically be in a very familiar environment. And that's exactly what we're focusing on.
Mm-hmm. That's now really interesting. And I like that thought, right? That you don't reinvent the wheel, you actually try to plug into existing user flows. I think you're not a technician, right? You're not a developer or have that background.
No.
So I'm skipping my technical questions.
we can definitely put a very technical discussion, bringing Shant on board, and then he's going to really dive deep with you. But I'm not the technical guy, which sometimes I think is good, right? Because mm-hmm. I am from that other world, let's say, in saying, well, let's try to understand how this world works and then try to apply new technologies to it. Mm. But I'm not a technical guy, and I would never claim to be actually a technical guy.
Everyone has their own strengths, so that's great. Just, you know, want to know what questions I should ask and which probably not.
Yeah. Hey, if you want to do a technical one, it's no problem. I can just ask Shan to join in.
It's fine.
You'll be more than happy.
When we look at the business side, right, you said you just introduced basically that, you're able to log in with your Gmail and these kind of things. I'm just thinking about, because originally your use case seemed to be more kind of like NFT projects or projects that build some kind of a company, some kind of a community, right, where mm-hmm. we're pre-native. But now it sounds more like you're going towards Web2 companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, like, what would the main incentive for these companies be to use Web3 wallets now in your context? Like, is that just to...
Yeah. So let's look at where we're coming from and where, again, this technology is going to go to and how we can apply it. So Web3 projects in this world today, they either have issued a token or NFT. And of course, this is kind of a digital receipt that what I'm getting. It could be an artwork or it's a digital receipt. For example, today, a Web2 company which is already doing this. If I buy a watch, for example, from Breitling, I'll also get an NFT dropped into my wallet. So in my world, an NFT is a digital receipt in a certain way, and it establishes a relationship between an issuer of the NFT and me. So kind of a next generation of a cookie, you could even say, because I've given, let's say, by accepting the NFT, I've given the permission that that company actually can communicate with me. And that was, or that is the original thing, what we're of course focusing on, that you essentially get self-updating email lists where the wallet address at ether.io is in the segment of, these are my 16,000 former NFT holders, these are my existing NFT holders. If I sell the token, there's an automatic update on the list, and I always have ensured that there is the newest owner, let's say, in my database. And that is as of today. And then there's, of course, the part around the advertisement to reward users to really interact with emails. And that's a separate thing we could discuss about. But essentially, these companies are on the forefront, of course, of technological development. If you look, I think, 1 to 5 years, it depends on the industry you're looking at, companies will more and more use NFTs as a digital receipt. There's actually a very good reason why it should be used, because, for example, again, that watch, I have it, and then I want to sell it to somebody else. I can actually follow the watch, of course, with the transactional ether scan of who had it, where did it go to, where did the NFT actually went to, and then actually have that physical product also connected to it. So essentially, if you think about that logic of companies interacting with end consumers buying products, it's applicable to any Web2 company, because the moment that I buy something from a Web2 company, well, then, of course, I have a relationship with that Web2 company. So wallets are two things, or three things. Encryption, they are identification, and they are payment also. And again, there's no reason why we shouldn't use wallets in 1 or 3 or 5 years as a very normal means of payment in a normal website and buying something. I think the most straightforward use case of where you really understand what the power of Web3 email is actually a company who wants to sell me something. And let's for a moment take a digital product, a ticket for a concert, but it could of course also be a physical one. So in today's world, I would actually get that email, I open it, I click on it, I then actually go to a website, I have to log into the website, I have to put all in my information, my username and everything. I go through the shopping process, I put my payment information, I have to confirm my payment information, and then in the end, I get a ticket. It's a 12 to 13 process step, depending on the website, let's say, sometimes more, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, but it's a really, really long process, of course. Now, in the world of Web3, what's going to happen is I have my wallet, and my wallet is going to have actually my personal information, where I'm living, for example, and then also perhaps also sizes and everything. And then I would get an email actually, and in that email, it would say buy. And the only thing I have to do is actually in that email to say buy. With that buy transaction, I give permission that actually the company is accessing my user data, where I live, for example. If it's a physical product, I want to send it to, perhaps if it's a physical product again, it's basically size and so on. And that's it, because my email is payment and identification, everything in one thing. So out of a 12-step process, I essentially have a 1 or 2-step process. And I think that's really where you see how powerful this new world of Web3 is, because it really combines communication and payment at the same time and identification.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about identity protocols, I'm just wondering, do you implement that identity solution basically from scratch, or are you building on top of existing protocols like Polygon ID or something like that?
Yeah, we would build on existing ones. I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel. Eventually, there is a lot of other chains and providers out there already who are doing this. This is not our topic. We really look at us as a communication infrastructure. We have a whole app at Marketplace where you can integrate MoonPays and their Huddle and loads of other basically apps. And essentially, we allow people to interact with the communication protocol, let's say, and we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to be everything to everybody. It's going to be impossible. So we really focus on where we are good at, and the rest we work with partners.
So you basically do the fun stuff, owning the user experience and trying to make it so easy that nobody sees it anymore, right?
Well, I mean, that's of course the dream, right? And I mean, of course, I understand that there's a lot of people trying to do this. I believe that email is a very has a very good starting point to be in that league, let's say, because again, email has been and for it always has been exactly that access point, right? So that's why I think it has a good chance actually to be this in the future. And I think at the moment we're quite well positioned for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't see a reason why it shouldn't be an absolutely valid use case for certain things, right? Especially what I could also imagine is when it comes to compliance and these kind of things, when you already plug in certain KYC metrics, could be interesting for companies themselves as well, right? But
Yeah, of course. I mean, also, I mean, tracking an email, right? I mean, for example, also did the person open the email or not? Well, there's a digital receipt on the blockchain that you opened it. And then basically you interacted perhaps with it. Or you can mint an email communication basically and say, listen, this is now proven that we communicated and this is on the blockchain, you can't interfere with it. Compliance, you mentioned it. There's a lot of these things when you start thinking about it, it all of a sudden it opens up a whole world. And I mean, at the beginning when we started, it was like, why should somebody do this? And how would that work? And so we had a lot of doubts ourselves, right? But then the more you get into it and realize, oh, wow. And then you can do this, and you can that. And you realize, well, it's a big world out there, what can be done with this.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, as said, really interesting for me. I would say, Gerald, maybe is there something else you want to share? Let's say three key takeaways maybe people should remember from this cool discussion, or call to actions maybe where you say, hey, how they can keep in touch with you guys, whatever you want to share.
Yeah, so I mean, I think Web3 audience, let's say, we love to partner with companies basically who basically see a benefit on integrating and work with us. Of course, there is also now a very big opportunity to actually tap into our really large millions of users database, basically, where we can actually obviously also provide a lot of users for products, because that's something what, of course, is eventually a very interesting use case, permission-based, of course. Then on the Web2 world, I think really it can be that onboarding experience to really get your feet into the Web3 world and just start playing around with things in a, let's say, familiar environment. Getting in touch with us, easy. I mean, on LinkedIn, Gerald Heidenreich, just ping me there. It could take a day or two in order to respond, but typically there, I'm very easily reachable. And of course, the Telegram channels and so on, you can easily also connect with us and follow what we're doing. So yeah, I think it's an exciting time. I think I've heard many times now that there's a lot of, as usual, skepticism what's happening in this world and so on. But again, I've been so long in tech, let's say, that it's a very typical, normal thing. And in half a year, in a year's time, when we're going to see more and more real world applications and the kind of the things which perhaps also weren't so good, which is normal in a growing economy, have disappeared, we're going to see a lot of super interesting use cases. Where people really see, okay, the value of what blockchain Web3 can do. And also, of course, connections with AI and metaverse, as we discussed previously, because they're very closely connected to each other.
Absolutely. Not technology driven. It needs to be blockchain or AI or whatever. It needs to create some value, right? And that exactly. Oftentimes includes several different technologies.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Gerald, for sharing all this. I will definitely put his links for the viewers now are also in the video description and on social media posts in the comments. So feel free to reach out to Gerald. And yeah, thanks for taking the time, mate. I really appreciate it. And yeah, talk soon.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for giving us the opportunity. And see you soon. Bye-bye.
WaveAct, the Web3 software company that understands what you want.